Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Wow, that's like my everyday routine at home, you know, hearing the cry like that. Well, church, Michael and I don't have much rules in our house, but we taught our three boys these two rules. That rule number one, don't disrespect mom. And rule number two, always tell the truth. Michael and I believe that if our kids can respect me as their mom, they would in turn respect Michael, and hopefully they'll respect each other, and they also learn how to respect women. And with rule number two, we always say that lying breaks relationships. And we say to them that always tell the truth, no matter what, because our relationship is just too important. So one day, I was dropping them to school, and then I asked them, hey boys, what are the two rules in our house? And they said, don't disrespect mom, they said all together. Always tell the truth, they said. And then my youngest said, don't jump on the sofa. So apparently, Michael and I have been saying that so many times that it becomes a part of our house rules. Don't disrespect mom, always tell the truth, and don't jump on the sofa. Well, welcome to our part three of our series, Parenting in the 21st Century. My name is Citra, and I'm part of the team here at The Rocks. And I want to give a shout out for those of you joining us online as well. If you're a parent, about to be a parent, if you wish to be a parent one day, are you helping another parent be a parent? Or are your grandparents here today seeing your own kids parent? Well, this series is definitely for you. It's for anyone who feels the weight and the responsibility of equipping a child, a teenager, or students for life. Now, the Bible, unfortunately, doesn't give us much good example on parenting. It does, however, give us much real examples of family dysfunctions. And while Jesus never talks about parenting directly, he does set a new standard for us, his followers, to live by that he called the New Covenant Command. And this New Covenant Command essentially tells us to love others as Jesus loved us. And good thing, Paul comes along and he gives us instruction on how this love looks like. How does this love behave? How does this love behave at home, in good times, and even in bad times? And last week, Daniel started off with 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, that says, love is patient. And I can tell you that having three boys, man, that is hard. Love is patient. But Paul doesn't stop there. He continues on. The next sentence says, love is kind. And sometimes in our society, we perceive kindness as soft and weak, but kindness is actually an expression of strength. Because unkindness, on the other hand, is weakness. You see, when you see people being unkind, they're not in control of themselves. Unkind people make unwise decisions. And sometimes, people who are being unkind, they don't even know that they're being unkind. I love this definition of kindness by Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley says this, that kindness is loaning someone your strength rather than reminding them of their weakness. Parents, we don't need to tell our kids that they have failed. They already know it. Because the world keeps on reminding them of their weaknesses, of their shortcomings. Loan them your strength. Because like us, every single day, our kids wake up and they're wondering if they're going to be good enough today. They're wondering if they're going to fail. They're wondering if they're going to mess up. I remember a time when I had to tell my parents that I had failed my whole semester of study. Yep, not just one subject, a whole semester of my study. And because I failed my second semester, the consequences is I can't continue on the next year first semester because I don't qualify. And I had to wait until the second semester to redo all of the subjects that I had failed. And I remember sitting down with my parents at the dining table. And then they were just there listening to me. They didn't ask why or how come. And they weren't angry at me. And then I told them, I had a plan. Mom, Dad, I had a plan. And my plan is to transfer all of my credit points to another university in another state to finish my study there. And after much discussion, my dad said this to me, Chit, if that's what you think is best, then we will support you. They loaned me their strength, even when I felt like a failure. Parents, find ways to side with your children and not against them. Show them kindness by loaning them your strength. Take their side and honor them to carry on the full weight of the consequences. And Mom, if you think that your words weigh a ton, well, Dad, guess what? Your words weigh 10 tons. Because I can never remember when my mom was upset with me, and I'm sure there were plenty of times when my mom was upset. But for Dad, I can always remember the exact time, the exact moments when my dad was upset with me. Parents, let's discipline our kids by all means is necessary, but side with our kids first before we discipline them, because that's what Jesus did for us. While we were still sinners, God scolded us. No, he didn't say that. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. He loaned us his strength, and he did what we couldn't do for ourselves. So what is your go-to response to weakness or failure in your children? Do you side with them or against them? And 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, didn't stop there as well. It continues on. It says, love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love wants the other person to win. Love celebrates other people's successes and achievements. But one thing to consider is, it's hard to celebrate others when we don't feel good about ourselves. You see, sometimes when we don't feel good about ourselves, it's hard to let our kids feel good about themselves. Maybe we'll say things like, hey, son, that was good. But maybe if you practiced harder, you could have done better. Hey, son, that is a great result. But maybe if you studied harder, you could have gotten a better result. Be careful with what we say, because remember that our words weigh too much. And I reckon that sarcasm shouldn't be a part of our conversations. Because if you say things like, I'm just joking, or I'm just playing with you, mate, well, sometimes the words already cut too deep. In the next verse, in verse 5, Paul introduces to us a new term that every successful relationship has. It says in verse 5, love does not dishonor others. Honor. You see, when we embrace a culture of mutual respect, When we honor each other and have zero tolerance for dishonor or disrespect, then it eliminates the countless rules, laws, and regulations. And you see, this works in parenting, this works in organizations, so community, it works everywhere. And so you ask, can we have an intense, open, and honest communication? Of course, we can have, but no disrespect. And that's why for Michael and I, we set rule number one as don't disrespect mom. Honor is superior than obedience. You see, if our goal in parenting is to have kids who is obedient, I can tell you that it's going to be tiring for you guys because you have to set so many rules. But if your goal in parenting is to create a culture of honor in your home, then actually you won't need any rules at all. Because with lack of honor, there's always a game of catch me if you can. Your kids will say things like, you said clean your room. You didn't say clean your room today. You said go home by 10. You didn't say 10 p.m. There's always a game of catch me if you can't. So parents, I want to encourage you today. Don't settle for obedience, because at the end of the day, obedience is not at the heart of a mutually satisfying relationship, but honor always is. Obedience will ask the question, what is the least that I can do without suffering any consequences? But honor will always ask, what can I do to put you first? Paul says in Romans 12, verse 10, he says this, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Let's put others first, not because that they deserve it, but because God has put us first when he gave Jesus to die on the cross to pay for our sin. So parents, today I want to encourage you to model it, to teach it, to expect it from our kids. Look for ways we can build honoring behavior into the rhythm of our family life. With Michael and I, you know, Michael taught our boys to hug and kiss me on the cheek and said, bye, mommy, love you, every single morning before they go to school. And when they come home from school, they said, hi, mommy, how's your day? You know, that's their way of honoring me. And another way we've developed a habit of honoring our family is when we have dinner. You know, the boys would pray first before their meal. Then they would address everyone that is older than them on the around the table and said, mommy makan, daddy makan, grandma makan. Meaning, please excuse me for eating first. And this is just a part of our Indonesian culture. But for our family, this builds into the culture of honor. Look for ways that we can build, you can build this culture of honor in your family life. And mom and dads, this also means that this culture begins with the way you treat and honor each other. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. You see, when Michael and I see successful marriages, we always see this one trait between the husband and wife. We see them having this submission competition. And it means that they compete with one another to submit to one another. They put the other person first. And back to parenting, if we choose kindness and honor as a central component in our family life, then any behavior that is dishonoring requires discipline. Because we can't ignore it. Dishonoring behaviors is what we call the three Ds. Dishonesty, disrespect, disobedience. And when you see any of these behaviors, we need to discipline them. Because what's rewarded is repeated. Because if you want to raise disrespectful, dishonest children, you know what? You can just ignore it. Because automatically, these behaviors will be repeated. But if you don't want any of these behaviors, then discipline is necessary. I'm saying this because this is my reality on a day-to-day basis. For discipline to be effective, not just scary or something to be avoided, then it must address the fact that relationship has been damaged. If dishonoring behavior breaks or undermines a relationship, my question to you is, what should the goal of your discipline be? If disrespect, dishonest, disobedience creates a broken trust and in turn breaks and damages our relationship, then what should our goal of discipline be? What should we try to accomplish? Because if we don't have a goal, then discipline will just turn into punishment. Punishment says, you did something bad to me, so I'm going to do something bad to you. Punishment says, you've inconvenienced me, so I'm going to do the same to you. And discipline makes a better person, but punishment rarely makes anyone better. And perhaps it may make our children bitter towards us instead. If dishonoring behavior breaks or undermines a relationship, then our goal in discipline should always be relationship restoration. You see, in my household, every single day is an opportunity to say, I'm sorry. Whether somebody kicks somebody on the head, whether somebody makes somebody fall, whether somebody makes somebody upset, you name it. And I tell you that if you want your house to be lively and full of action, have three boys or have more. I can bet you that. And most of the time, during this situation, I would often hear the word sorry. Sorry! And then I would hear the other kid still crying and still being upset. And then someone would say, and then you would hear it again, I said sorry. Doesn't saying sorry restore the relationship? No. Because at the heart of every transgression is a damaged relationship. If you take things away from your kid, if you say to them, you know, no iPad time for the whole week, they would probably hate us more. My eldest son, Benjamin, he's quite wise. And he said to Michael and I one day, he said, Mom, Dad, do you know that when you scream, it doesn't teach us anything? Yeah. So how us as parents, how do we teach our kids to build this relationship bridge? Well, we teach them by showing them the art of saying sorry. You say, when you say sorry, you need to say, I'm sorry. It means you own your mistakes. And make sure they also look at the person that they're saying sorry to. I'm sorry I lied to you. I'm sorry I disobeyed you. And make sure that they know the reason why as well. And the next step is to teach our kids to understand that when they disrespect, dishonest, or disobeyed, that they have taken away something. They have taken the trust and break the relationship. And this is a tip on how you can teach them how to mend this relationship again. I'm sorry I disobeyed you. Is there anything I can do to make it up to you? Is there anything I can do to make it up to you? So parents, my question to you this morning is this. How do you discipline towards restoration? How do you discipline towards restoration? A few months ago, my kids and I visited my parents' house. And my son Judah left my car door open. It was that day when we hear the severe weather warning. And it was that day for one of Perth's heaviest rain. So when I went out to go to for a meeting, that's when I discovered that my driver's side door was wide open. My car seat were all drenched wet. My cup holders were flooded with water. And even the dashboard were all wet. And everyone who loves God says, oh man, yeah. Was I angry? Yeah, I was so angry. But good thing is, I need to go to that meeting right away, so I just drove in it. And my pants were all wet from the drenched seat. Earlier that day, I promised Judah that I would take him to Rebel Sports so that he can buy something with his money. And the thing with Judah is, he's really big on promises, so he will hold you for it. So I FaceTimed him after my meeting and I said, Judah, I don't think we can go to Rebel Sports today. I think you've forgotten to close my car door, so I'm all wet, my car's all wet. Can we go tomorrow? And he said, yep, that's fine, Mom. But I knew he was watching TV and he didn't hear anything that I said probably. So when I picked him up later that evening, he was so angry that we didn't get to go to Rebel Sports. And he even denied that it wasn't him that didn't close the car door. And the one that got to me was when he said, I hate you, Mom. Ouch. And good thing for CCTV. Yep. So I took the footage from the CCTV and I showed it to him and I said, Judah, is that you? And he said, yeah. And he looked at me and said, oops. So on the way home, Judah was sitting at the front passenger seat. So I had a chance to talk to him. And I said, Judah, I understand that you are upset with me for not going to Rebel Sport. But you have to understand that I am also angry with you. First, for flooding my car, and I know that was an accident. But second, for you being disrespectful to me, that to me, that was even more hurtful. When you say I hate you, Judah, that really breaks my heart because you know I love you. And he was just quiet during this time. And then he said, I'm sorry, Mom, for disrespecting you and for flooding your car. And I said, thank you, Judah. Appreciate that. And I forgive you. Would you be able to help me clean my car so I can dry it off? And I'll take you to Rebel Sports tomorrow. Parents, we can do this. Because remember that God made the first move to restore our relationship. When we were still sinners, God doesn't scold us or punish us. He came to this earth to restore our broken relationship. The ones that we broke through our dishonesty, through our disobedience, the ones that we broke through our impatience, through our unkindness, or dishonoring responses and behavior towards Him. And now, we have been given this chance. We have been given this responsibility to teach and model what God has done for us. Well, that's part three of parenting in the 21st century about honor code. And I want to encourage you again to make sure that you come to our part four next week. And I know that you will be blessed. So let's close this in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much that you are the one that initiate to restore our broken relationship. You are the one that come to this earth to pay for our sins. So God, we pray, Lord, for all the strength and all the wisdom that we need to be great parents, to be great grandparents, aunties, uncles here in this place so that we can model, we can teach our next generations about your love, how you love us, and we can model it to our next generation. We thank you, God. We give you thanks for what you have done in our lives. And everyone who believes me says, amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.